Thank you. We're going to our study of the larger catechism now. And we come to the larger catechism number 157. We had a short introduction to that at our last gathering 2 weeks ago. Let's see, yes, 2 weeks ago. And this is so appropriate for the new year. It is, how is the Word of God to be read? Now, before we read the answer, let us think about that. We are to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. And our growth is dependent on several things. Our growth is dependent upon our reading of the Word of God. Our growth is dependent upon the enabling ministry of the Holy Spirit. And our growth in grace is dependent upon our applying the Scriptures and the message of the Scriptures that we read to our living. So now let's go to our question and answer, number 157. How is the Word of God to be read? The Holy Scriptures are to be read with an high and reverent esteem of them, with a firm persuasion that they are the very Word of God, and that He only can enable us to understand them, with desire to know, believe, and obey the will of God revealed in them, with diligence and attention to the matter and scope of them, with meditation, application, self-denial, and prayer. We didn't intend to have a repeat of our morning message, but there are so many similarities we note here. Now, I want us to consider, first of all, that we are to have a high and reverent esteem of the Holy Scriptures. Now, you realize that in America, from the earliest times of the Christian explorers who came to view the land, and the colonists coming and beginning their colonies, and all the way up until the 20th century, there was such a high and reverent esteem of the Word of God. And we know that in 1925, when a Tennessee teacher dared to teach evolution as if it was something true and factual, as it is supposed that he did, the public was up in arms and appalled by the impudent attack upon the scriptural account of the creation. Now, this high and reverent esteem of the Scriptures is so important because it is so biblical and historical. In the book of Nehemiah, we will read here Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, and we actually have these verses engraved on a plate here on the pulpit, which is a very good thing. Nehemiah chapter 8, and beginning to read with verse 3. Nehemiah 8:3. Okay, let me go back to verse 2. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men, women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. Now, verse 3. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah, and on his right hand and on his left hand, Pedaiah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashem and Hashabadonah, Zechariah and Meshullam. Now there's your a bunch of names you can recommend for names for your grandchildren. Okay. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Now notice the reverence for the word of God. When he opened it, all the people stood up. Now those people had been standing there for a while already. And so they had taken them a little rest, and they stood up in reverence for the word of God. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen," with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Now, there is the display of a true reverence for the word of God as they are showing there. Now, why should we be so adamant regarding this matter of the reverence for the word of God? Well, I want to share with you here that I put my notes under my Bible. Here we are. Okay. Once the ancient Hebrew people had returned to Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity, they realized that they were absolutely dependent on the Lord, and they were absolutely dependent upon His word. Therefore, they showed great reverence for the Holy Scriptures. And we must esteem the Bible to be greater than every other book. There is no other book that deserves our reverent esteem as the Bible does. Only by the message of this book can we have eternal life. The Bible is our judge. We are not the judges of the Bible. And we must ourselves consider the special nature of the Word of God every day when we come to read it. This is not just another book. This is the precious Word of the living God. So, first of all, we are to read it with a high and reverent esteem. Secondly, with a firm persuasion that they are the very Word of God. The Scriptures are the very words of God. Now, we read in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart." Peter says, now consider that the word that we have from God is a certain word. It is a word to take heed to in the midst of the darkness, until the day star arise in your heart. And the day star is the Lord Jesus Christ. As Zechariah used that term, the day spring from on high has visited us. The Lord Jesus Christ is that day star, that day spring. Until that day dawn, the day of our regeneration, we are to give heed to the Word of God. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. The men who wrote the Holy Scriptures did not write what they wanted to write. But the Scripture says here in verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now I want to share with you that word moved. The word moved is the Greek word pharaoh, and it means to bear or to carry. So these men of old were actually carried along, borne along by the Holy Spirit as they wrote the Scriptures. They were under His control. And it's not the words of men, but it is the very Word of God. We are never to accept the lies of Karl Barth and Emil Brunner, who taught that the Bible only contains the Word of God, is not the Word of God, but it can actually become the Word of God to you in your experience. What they meant was that if you're reading the Scriptures and something in the Scriptures just reaches out and grabs you, then that becomes the Word of God in your life. Because it was not the Word of God until your experience made it so. So thus the Word of God is inferior to us, because our experience then becomes the means of making the Word into the Word of God. That's not what the Scripture is. The Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, all we have to do is listen to Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. He said, "Verily," He puts His own name there, the Amen. That's the Greek word, amen. "Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Jesus was pointing back to the Old Testament, and He said that the smallest Hebrew letter, the Hebrew letter that He's speaking of, looks sort of like an apostrophe that we would do. And the jot or the yot, the little, smallest letter, He said, that's not going to pass away. But He goes farther. Some of you ladies that here your writing is probably not only more legible than some of the men. My wife said to me yesterday, we got a letter in the mail. And she said, I said, "Did you enjoy that?" She said, "I can't read it." So it was written by another man, and so it was written to us, and I just it's a nice little card, and I said, "Okay, I can read it." So I read every word of it, but some of you have a little flair to your letters. You know, you have a little nicer handwriting than most of us men do. So that little flair, not even the letter itself, is the tittle, the little extra put on the letter. Not the letter, but the little flair. Jesus said, not even that will pass away till all be fulfilled. How wonderful. It's so important because, you know, there are times that even the theological argument of justification by faith being brought out from the promised seed in Galatians hinges on one letter in the original. That the promise was not made to seeds, plural, but to the seed, singular. One little letter in the Greek. Now, we come to this word as the very Word of God, the very outbreathing of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Spirit inspiring in 2 Timothy. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, the very breath of God Himself. Now we are to consider the Word as the very Word of God, and that He only can enable us to understand them. That's why it's so needful when we approach the Bible. We don't just read me a verse tonight. This will be my verse for today. We're good to go now. No. We come to the Word. We say, Lord, I need help. Open my eyes so that I can see in Thy Word. I want to be able to understand it. I want to get something from it. So we come and realize that only God can enable us to understand the Scriptures. And that Luke chapter 24 and verse 45 says, "Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures." Jesus opened the understanding of these two men on the road to Emmaus so that they could understand. He opened the understanding. The human mind is so naturally darkened and clouded by sin that falsehood rather than truth is that which the human nature loves. Romans 1:21, their foolish heart was darkened. Down in verse 28 of Romans 1, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They didn't even want to think about God that even existed. Only the regenerating and the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit can enable us to understand the Word of God. Now notice those two things. Only the regenerating and illuminating work of the Holy Spirit can take away the darkness and give us a love for truth. We were so glad as we were reading church history in the men's class this afternoon to see how even when the Apostle Paul, writing in Romans 7, as the great reformer Pierre Verret said, that the greatest torment of the believer is indwelling sin. And one of the brothers said, "Well, I can remember a time in my life when sin didn't bother me." Yes, there was a time when sin did not bother us. It was not an irritant, it was rather a pleasure. Well, we thank God that when the Spirit of God gives us a love for truth, isn't that a wonderful means of assurance of our own salvation? I love the truth. I do not love falsehood. I love truth. And we can assure our hearts before God that He's given us that love of the truth. So regeneration is completed in an instant of time when we are given a new heart, when we are granted those gifts of repentance and faith. But illumination is something different. Illumination by the Holy Spirit, Him opening our eyes, is what we have to seek every day from the Spirit of God. Oh, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. That word wondrous is so beautiful because it has to do with the one who is called Wonderful Counselor. It is Christ that we're looking for in the Word. Now, during the whole of our lifetime, we need this illuminating, enabling of the Spirit of God so that we can understand the Scriptures. All right, the next thing is, we are to come to the Scriptures with desire to know, to believe, and to obey the will of God revealed in them. Our motive in reading and studying Scripture must be the desire to know, to believe, to obey the will of God revealed in them. And I cannot help but think of Joshua's word that the Lord gave him. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Why? "That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." For here's the promise then. "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Prosperity and success are promised for those who meditate on God's Word day and night, observe to do according to what's written there, and then the promise is, "Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." But our motive in reading must be to know, to believe, and to obey the will of God. Now, our reading, I want to read here from the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 14, section 2. This is very important. Westminster Confession, chapter 14, and section 2. This is about saving faith, this chapter. "By this faith, a Christian believeth to be true whatsoever is revealed in the Word. For the authority of God Himself speaking therein, and acteth differently upon that which each particular passage thereof containeth. Yielding obedience to the commands," this is what's done differently, "you yield obedience to the commands, trembling at the threatenings, and embracing the promises of God for this life and for that which is to come. But the principal acts of saving faith are accepting, receiving, and resting upon Christ alone for justification, sanctification, and eternal life, by virtue of the covenant of grace." Now, we are to come to the Word of God with a desire to know, with a heart to believe and to obey what God reveals to us here. And then we are given these words as we come toward the end here. We are to pursue the reading of God's Word with diligence and attention to the matter and scope of them. Now, not all the Scriptures are the same. There are differences in some of the Scriptures, and I want to point that out. I want you to notice that our reading is to be with diligence, attention, and attention to the matter and scope of them. Diligence is one thing. You know, I mentioned the Scripture this morning in Acts 17, verse 11, that we should be as the Bereans. The Bereans who searched the Scriptures daily. They were those with all readiness of mind who searched the Scriptures daily to see if what was being preached to them was in line with the Word of God. Now, you know, there's a Scripture that says there is no God. Psalm 14, verse 1, there is no God. But we have to remember who said it. It was the fool who said in his heart. We read in Job, in the little book of Job, chapter 2 and verse 4, "Skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life." But we have to remember that it was Satan who said that. So when we read the scriptures, we are to read them with diligence, and we have to have our attention on the matter and scope of them, who it is that's speaking. And then the final part here, we are to read the scriptures with meditation, application, self-denial, and prayer. Meditation. What does Psalm 1 say? Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Psalm 1 and verse 2. Who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We are to meditate upon God's word. We are to turn it over and over in our minds. And I had that experience yesterday. I was thinking about that one saying of Jesus, and it really kind of led me into a bypath, but that's okay, because I had fun studying the Word of God. Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And I discovered in my study of that, that for more than a dozen times, Jesus said that on a dozen different occasions. And the interesting thing, it was only Jesus who said that. And every one of those times, it was so important because it meant either heaven or hell for the person who needed to have his ears open. Let him that hath ears to hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So we are to meditate upon God's word. We're to turn it over in our minds and think about it carefully. And we are to endeavor to apply what we read and learn to our living. That was one of the points that Spurgeon made of how we are to hear the word of God. We are to hear attentively, affectionately, and applicatively, to apply it to our lives. Now then, in the matter of self-denial, when we read the scriptures, we must not lean to our own understanding. Oh, I got this. If we trust our own understanding, we can go wrong. We are to deny ourselves in that regard, according to our Westminster forefathers. But you know, there's also the self-denial that we have to practice in making time to read the Word of God. There's some self-denial involved in that as well. We are to sometimes leave other things alone, so that we can be faithful in the reading of the scriptures. But we are also to make our reading of the word a matter of prayer. That's the last word here. And I'm going to turn to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1 for that. These are wonderful words for us to pray. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. If his commandments are going to go any farther than just over our head, then so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, especially the knowledge of God, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. We pray. We pray, O Lord. Open thou mine eyes as we come to His Word. You know, as we close tonight, I want to say that one of the most intriguing things in history is simply reading the Word of God. Do you realize that it was in the year 1787 when the Bounty, the ship known as the Bounty, left the harbor there in England, headed for the South Seas? And you've heard of mutiny on the Bounty. Well, there's three volumes. If you only read the mutiny on the Bounty, you didn't get the rest of the history that actually took place. This is not just a classic. It is actually a true story of what happened. These British sailors went there to plant trees in those South Sea islands so that people could come and inhabit those islands and live on that food as well as some of the animal life that was on the island. But they needed certain nourishing trees that provided fruits for the people to eat. So they planted these trees all over these islands, and there was a mutiny because when they got ready to go back on the long journey on the Bounty to England, a bunch of the men had fallen in love with the native girls and they didn't want to leave. Well, so the way the thing went on, there was something of a mutiny, and Captain Bligh was sent out on a small vessel and miraculously made it to a place of safety with the crew that remained faithful to him. And they made it back to safety, which was so amazing. And then there was an expedition sent out to take care of these men and bring them to justice for the mutiny. Well, they had already had a virtual war among themselves. Wickedness was reigning on the island there where they were, and a bunch of them had killed each other off. Well, a few of the men escaped with their wives and children to a very distant island from where these guys were. Well, when the party from England came back, they were able to capture this group, the ones that were doing so wickedly. And so the ones who made it to the distant island, they had two books. They had the Bible and they had Pilgrim's Progress. And finally, with disease and with the infighting and the wickedness that they had, there was only one man left. And that man's name was Alexander Smith. And he picked up the Bible. It wasn't even his Bible. It had belonged to another one of the sailors. And he started reading it. And they went by the Bible on that island. And there were a bunch of women and children left. And Alexander Smith taught them the Scriptures. And decades later, when the explorers came to that island, they found that there was a genuine, pure Christian culture, and they were prospering on that island. That man, Alexander Smith, and all those mothers and their children that, you know, their husbands had killed each other off and various things, but it was truly a Christian island simply by this man's reading the Word of God. It's amazing. So we are in 2020, and it's time for us to faithfully read the Word of God with reverence and with diligence every day.